What are people up to in town? Find out on Out There Wednesday afternoons from 4 to 5 on Valley Free Radio for live encounters from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond. We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make a scene, baby, me and you. On my rocking bicycle that's built for two. Welcome to Out There. It is Wednesday, August 7th. That was a little bit of drumming from the Pecumtuk Homelands Festival, which took place this past weekend, Saturday and Sunday. It was the 6th annual Pecumtuk Homelands Festival in Great Falls, also known as Turner Falls, Massachusetts. And what did I say? This is Wednesday, August 7th, 2019. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Today's show, I think I have an interview with Strong Oak from the Homelands Festival. I say I think because I was pointing the recorder the wrong way and the sound quality wasn't the best for that part of it. But that second half of the interview, I figured out I had the recorder pointed the wrong way, so the quality's a little better. And what else? Well, I have to say, I've been bad again. I mean, my legal story, my saga of the bikes in UMass and et cetera, I've brought it upon myself. And maybe I will share some more of that. Of course, I'll share some more of that later. Okay, I'll share it now. So as my loyal listeners may know, this is the chance I can talk about the Trinidad Bicycle Osmosis Project again. I'm still working on that. I'm still collecting bikes. I'm collecting bike donations to send to Trinidad, to the place where I was over the winter and where I'm going back in the fall. I have a GoFundMe page with more information about the project. You can look up Trinidad Bicycle Osmosis Project GoFundMe. And I've started putting up some flyers at local bike shops. But yeah, so I'm looking for bike donations. If you have an extra bike that's not being used, that's like close to working or has most of its parts, mostly it just needs labor or maybe it's just a little rusty, you can drop it off at the Bike Lab, 12 Northern Avenue, anytime, or my house, 8 High Street in Florence, anytime. BMX bikes are great. Mountain bikes are great. Road bikes are fine. A few kids' bikes are okay. Anyway, yeah, so the ongoing saga of my attempt to get some bikes from UMass, not through the normal legitimized channels, but still, I thought they appeared to be abandoned bikes. Anyway, so that led to me getting trespassed from UMass for 2 years, among other things, among, like, a court case. That was actually my last week's show. I told the full story on that for last week's show, and that's in the archives. Weatherbeard.com/outthereArchive. It hasn't been uploaded to the podcast site yet, which is just weatherbeard.com/outthere. Anyway, so I had no intention of going back to UMass. Like, I live in Florence, and you know, I bike everywhere, and that feels like a long ways away to me. I hardly ever get across the river. I had no plans to go back to UMass. I didn't really, you know, care about the trespass order, but I was advised that I should try to get it lifted because the magistrate says it, and the, you know, I think the UMass police sergeant, they're like, UMass owns lots of property. You never know exactly where in Amherst it ends and begins, so it's your benefit to try and appeal the trespass order. So I've been working on that. I called a couple of weeks ago and talked to someone and thought my understanding from the conversation with them was that I was in the queue, in the list. I was in their paperwork and I was kind of waiting to hear back from them, but I didn't for a week. So I called them a week later and just left a message. And then I called earlier the Monday of this week and talked to someone and it sounded like they said, yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. We'll start the process on that. And she said, well, is there any reason that you need the trespass order lifted? Or do you have any plans to come onto campus? And I was like, so 2 weeks ago, I had no plans to come onto campus or no desire to. But then a week ago, a friend of mine who organizes these recreational bike rides called the Farm Ride, Glenn Goldstein, he's in the past. Some friends of mine and I have spray painted route markers on the roads and paths for this ride at the turns and stuff. And this year he was planning on doing it himself, but then just like last minute, like a week ago, he was like, Ruthie, are you still available this week to paint the route markers? And I was like, sure. Well, the ride starts and ends on UMass campus. So I was going to like not paint those markers. I was just going to paint the ones on the road, because there's like 150 miles of routes, of rides, 175 miles that they do of these rides, of route markers to paint. And so just a little bit, it's on the UMass campus. So I was going to save that for last, thinking, oh, maybe my trespass order will be lifted by Friday. I can do this as late as Friday because the ride's not till this weekend. Or I thought, well, I can get someone else to do that part of it. But anyway, I was painting some of the markers in North Amherst and around very close to UMass campus. And then I got a little closer to UMass campus. And then I was so close, I was like, I'm so close. I can just take care of it right here and right now. And besides, I've been doing this for the last like 4 or 5 years. It's never been any problem. I don't think it'll be any problem. Maybe I can just do it and get away with it. Yes, I was aware I had a trespass order, but it had never been. Anyway, so now you may wonder, am I stupid? Well, so anyway, all right. So I was painting some marks. I was going down the what street is there, North Pleasant, and then I got to the corner of Mass Ave, Massachusetts Avenue, and I was like, oh shoot, is this a UMass owned street? I don't even know. Gosh, I feel like I'm like stuck in the middle of it now. Well, I might as well just paint my way out as fast as I can. And so I put some markers down on the pavement, and I saw this white pickup truck sitting on the bike, parked on the bike path about right in front of me, or like 20 yards away. And I thought, oh, that's probably a maintenance vehicle. That's probably not good. Anyway, and then I painted one little turn and I got in my bike to keep on going past the truck. And what do you know? Two UMass police officers pop out. They're like, stop. What are you doing? Anyway, so basically what they said was, hang on just a minute. I recorded it this time. And they asked me, you know, what I was doing, and said, you know, you can't be tagging. And then it came out that I had this trespass. And so then I talked a little bit about the bike thing. Anyway, basically what they said, I'll let Michael Jackson do the talking for me. We'll be right back. Yeah, I like that line. No one wants to be defeated. So it was at one point during the interaction, they said, okay, so you violated this trespass. You knowingly violated this trespass, and you've been tagging. This is tagging, they said. I mean, I tried to make the case that, I gave them the number of the organizer. Yeah, as far as I know, this is all approved through the university, but I don't know who his contact is. But anyway, so I wasn't able to, you know, clarify things through that. At any rate, yeah, sure, I was violating the trespass. So then the officer, there was four officers there by this point, I think. He said, so what do you think should happen now? He asked me. And I was like, well, I have a can of black spray paint. So how about I spray paint over the marks that I put how about I spray paint over the marks that I already made? And then I go to the police station and figure out what I need to do to lift the trespass. And he said, no, any more painting on the pavement is more tagging. And no, you're not going to go onto campus to go to the police station right now. Anyway, so I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I was like, well, what if you do arrest me, then what happens? And they said, well, then you have to go to court. And I'm like, ooh, I don't want to see that magistrate that I saw a couple weeks ago, who I gave my heartfelt testimony to and who kindly listened to me. I'd be so embarrassed. Anyway, I call this whole summer experience with the UMass law enforcement my experiment in privilege. And so they finally let me go with a big talking to and stuff. And when I rode away, I was feeling pretty stupid and kind of nervous and paranoid. And I was like, oh, any mark I paint now, even on the public roads, someone's going to call the cops. Like, this helicopter went over. I think it was maybe a state police helicopter or something. And I'm like, oh, no, they're looking for me and my can of spray paint, painting these bike route markers. Anyway, but later that day, I was talking to my friend Pablo, and I'm like, I don't know. Like, why did you really do it? Because, like, I'm not stupid. And I'm like, well, I think I really did it. I took that risk. It seemed a risk worth taking because I was just so curious. Like, I just wanted to know, well, what would happen? Yeah, that's why I call it my experiment in privilege, to be able to test those boundaries of curiosity, whatever. So anyway, then today I was doing my route, my pedal people route, and then I ran into my housemate and coworker, Alex Jarrett, at the transfer center. My housemate. And he said, hey, did you get my email? Because two UMass detectives stopped by the house this morning looking for you. And, you know, actually, that warmed my heart, because everybody wants to be wanted, right? And I was like, oh, that's great. They came to visit. I can welcome them in. I can show them the place and the ducks and the chickens. And I like making friends across boundaries. And if they come, it'll be nicer if they're on my turf and I'm not, like, it's not like one of me and four of them on their turf. Anyway, they left me a phone message. I got a phone message from the deputy chief that I checked right before I came here to the radio station that said, call us to petition, make your case as to why you think we should lift the trespass. So that's where that is. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. And next, I think we're going to have... okay, so I'm going to play this interview with Strong Oak. It's a two-part interview. The first part, the first 6 minutes, is when I had the recorder upside down. So this is Strong Oak, from who I talked with at the Pecumtuck Homelands Festival. Strong Oak has also been on Mary Wheeler's show, Mary Rewired, which airs right before Out There. Airs on Wednesdays from 3 to 4. Mary just left the studio. But yeah, you may have heard Strong Oak, because they're spouses. And so, yep, here's Strong Oak.
I'm Stronghold.
And so, with the Pecumseh Homelands Festival today, yeah?
Yeah, it's a wonderful, whole thing. This whole area was, the spirits here, like the reconciliation ceremonies I did here, and like some of the people that were involved in the very first one are actually at this festival. And it's a very special thing to have it by the river. And this is actually the site where every year the memorial and the Truth and Reconciliation Ceremony is held here. So it feels really good for the whole community that lives here to be able to come here.
Yeah, how long have this been going on?
15 years.
What are they like?
Who like?
What are they like? What is the ceremony like?
Oh, well, the first ceremony had to do with the reconciliation. There had been a big massacre here. Actually, it was a turning point. That massacre that occurred, if it had not gone the way it did, it's possible that the colonization would have been delayed a great deal longer because the people from England were running out of money. And what they liked was the big pines that were here, because they had pretty much decimated the forest from where they lived. And then actually, a lot of people don't realize the decimation of the forest that happened when they came here. Or the fact that the land and all the plants, instead of understanding the indigenous plants, they brought their own from Europe. So in other words, they didn't just colonize the people, they colonized the land. And to me, that's just as much of a story as the colonization, of the people that were here. And the fact that all the women and children, like, I know that that's a planned thing that the government did, because I thought I gave them more credit at first. I said, they're killing the women and the children, out of what they don't know really what they're doing, or they weren't intending to kill the eldest women and children. But then I found out that was part of the government's plan. To get rid of the women and children is to get rid of the progeny that would be coming. So that was actually a policy of the government. And because they knew that Native people couldn't read, and we didn't have a language that was written down, that we wouldn't find out eventually that was the policy, because they just put it into what they were doing. So they, like, in their thing, when only they could read and write, the women weren't taught to read initially. All of that's in the history, because they were just blatant and arrogant about putting it in there. So about 90% of all Native peoples, pretty much that's the percentage of people that got really part of the whole diaspora that happened here. There were like 40 million Native peoples living in this country. And we're down to a paltry sum of that, like maybe 0.4 million or something like that. It's just really incredibly small number compared to what we originally were.
Is that number, what is the graph of that number? Like, is it stable, declining, increasing,
I think there's a mindfulness, but I'm thinking when you look at the blood quota, like, I'm not a proponent of blood quotas, because I actually think that's a way to say that there's no more Natives. They're waiting for the moment when they'll be able to say that they don't have enough blood quota and can take your lands. I think the pressure on the land is still really big. Like, all the reservations, are shrinking because of this incredible, intense effort to try to take that away. And now they use whatever means necessary, like what happened here, with one tribe, one Wampanoag Nation tribe that got, under Obama, they got federal recognition, and then only to have the Trump administration withdraw it. It's like some tribes, like actually the Nipmucks here, they have state recognition, but they don't want federal recognition, because when you do, you bring in a whole layer of hierarchy. You bring in the BIA, you bring in the tribal council, and then the people who live there have less and less power over implementing their own programs. So here, Visioning Bear, right, we you know, have gone to the tribes and supported them in front of the council to make it so that the people who live there would get the grant money to provide services to their tribal community. These little flies are biting me a lot. I don't know what it is, but anyhow, so there's some really sad things that people don't know is going on. Like, you know, a friend of mine that I Sundance with, she's, you know, she owns a nice home in Katona, New York, and as part of the closing, they said that they wanted her to sign papers that if there was a native claim on the land, that she would oppose it, and also not resell her land to native peoples. And then, you know, the same woman was telling me that, you know, in the Black Hills, in that area in South Dakota, that if they want to, you know, if land is for sale and the native people want to buy it, they jack up the price. So there's still, like, this active push to not have people, indigenous people, have their land. And, you know, so it's just really an important thing. Myself, I don't think any of us should own it.
Yeah.
No, really, that was the beginning of the end when you treat everything like it's a cash crop. Like, money to me is the first violence. We teach that a lot, you know, that money destroys our relationships with each other.
Yeah. You're listening to Out There. This is an interview with Strong Oak, who I talked with at the Pecumtuk Homelands Festival up in Great Falls this weekend. That was the first part of the interview where I was holding the recorder upside down. So if you've managed to still listen despite the sound quality, well, we're going to come back for more of a better quality with Strong Oak. This is Lila June with All Nations Rise.
I remember the days when our prayers were illegal. I remember the days when being Indian was lethal. Yeah, we had a rough past, but get ready for the sequel. Get ready for the glorious comeback of our people. Oh, yeah. Rise up, all you warriors of love, all you answers to the prayers of our ancestors from above. I can feel it in my heart. Can you feel it in your blood? I can hear the seventh fire calling us to wake up, wake up. All nations rise. Rise up, cause now's your time. We don't have to hide anymore, cause now's the time. All nations rise. Rise up, cause now's your time. We don't have to hide anymore, cause now's the time. With forgiveness as my bow and my prayers as my arrows, pull them back and let go. I watch them fly like sparrows, have hope. Yeah, have hope. With compassion as my shield and faith down to my marrow, I will walk the pollen path even when it gets narrow. Yeah, yeah, I resurrect. Yes, you can bet that we seen the single mama raising children on the res. We seen domestic violence tear apart what we have left. We seen the alcohol take it all and leave us dead. We seen the children take their lives when they can't take the dread anymore.
It's a war.
Can't take the dread anymore.
It's a war.
No, we can't take the dread anymore.
It's a war.
No, we can't take the dread anymore.
It's a war, yeah.
It's a war, but we've seen it all before. And now we know we can change it, cause that's why we were born. We know we are the ones that we have been waiting for. We are the ones Grandma has been praying for. So rise up, all you warriors of love, all you answers to the prayers of our ancestors from above. I can feel it in my heart. Can you feel it in your blood? I can hear the seventh fire calling us to wake up, wake up.
Pueblo hermoso, levántense, es nuestro tiempo. No tienes que esconderte más. Ahora es nuestro tiempo.
Mujer indígena, tú eres tan sagrada. Traigas medicina de tu suelo todavía, a pesar del abuso de tu cuerpo y tu tierra. Respetamos tus ancestros y la suya cultura. Hombre indígena,
Tú eres honorable y yo veo la fuerza que todavía sobrevive a pesar del abuso de tu raza venerable. Yo respeto tus ritos, tus danzas, tus padres. Somos guerreros del amor y guerreros de la paz. Sí, no vamos a escondernos más. Somos guerreros del amor y guerreros de la paz. Sí, no vamos a escondernos más.
They say that history is written by the victors. But how can there be a victor when the war isn't over? The battle has only just begun, and Creator is sending his very best warriors. And this time, it isn't Indians versus cowboys. No, this time, it is all the beautiful races of humanity together on the same side, and we are fighting to replace our fear with love. And this time, bullets, arrows, and cannonballs won't save us. The only weapons that are useful in this battle are the weapons of truth, faith, and compassion.
That was Lila June. That song was written for the Black Hills Unity Concert, September 9th through 11th, 2016, in Piedmont, South Dakota. Now back to the interview with Strong Oak from the Pecumtuk Homelands Festival this weekend. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton. And I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring.
Could you say again the thing about the Wampanoag and yeah, the changes?
During the Obama administration, they got federal recognized after a long, long effort, and they got recognized, which means that all these resources come into your community, services, all kinds of things, not to mention the land. So then the Trump administration comes in and decides that they're not Indian enough, and they take that designation away. But I also noticed that whenever they give recognition in one area, they try to take recognition away in another. Because I remember at one point they were trying to take away the Narragansett's designation. They were not successful in that, but they tried. Because it seems like people know that the land is really the thing. You know, the land and the resources that the land provides. And so people won't sell the Black Hills. They won't take money for it. Because it's sacred. So Native peoples do not want to put, you know, money on a land, you know, that kind of a thing. One of the key things that Vision Bear does is teach about money being how they can keep control over it all. Like once the only white men could own land at first, when the structure got set up. And for a long time, nobody could own land other than white men. No people of color. Women didn't get to own anything until well into the 1950s or 60s. Some of us on Visioning Mirror, our mothers, tried to buy, they bought vehicles, got loans for vehicles, but they couldn't register them in their own name. And when you can't control your own property, you're ripe for abuse. You know, so like what happened is women couldn't leave. Like in her case, you know, one of the people that is on our board, in her case, her mother was told by this man, if you try to leave and take the car, I will say it's stolen. So it's like, you know, this is not a long time ago. We're still really struggling with all of the ramifications of who could control money. And like when you look at all the land, it's like in the hands of a very few people. And it's not in the hands of people of color. Not in the hands. Although Native peoples and African American peoples are really looking at land conservancies and land trusts and the reparations. You hear the 48% of the mule coming up again. And I'm glad to say that in Congress, they're also looking at what kind of reparations can you make to the indigenous community.
Are you aware of any like local land conservancy, or I forget what you called it?
There are some instances where actually somebody came here at the table while we're here and was saying she had a lodge, bunch of land, and she was looking to have a Native group be able to, you know, to put it in trust and give it back to Native people. So she and I are going to talk. Uh-huh. And she's planning to move to Arizona, and she's feeling called to do work in the border right now. But that's just awesome. And there are some people doing that. People are getting some land in trust or in conservancy that Native peoples can gather and teach and, you know, we really want to teach children, you know, about food as medicine, and have young people, you know, develop leadership skills and also develop the ability to resolve conflict in a good way and to recognize everybody doesn't think the same. And there's no sides in a circle. There's a conversation. And, like, in the conversation, that's where we're going to change, and that's where we're going to grow.
So we should make sure to talk about Visioning Bear. Can you just say what Visioning Bear is and a little bit about that?
What Visioning Bear's mission is to end sexual and domestic violence through prevention. So we feel that the cultural change has to happen. So everyone in Visioning Bear, we developed our own curriculum, and we set up our whole organization to reflect our values. Everybody gets the same money, but we teach about the problems that money has brought. That there's always injustice. If this money is existent, there's going to be injustice. So we teach that how the land and the trauma to the land and the trauma to people is one and the same, especially to women. Like that creation energy, it's like trashing everything. And then we don't do the gender binary, so we talk about womb bearers. Because there are men now that have reproductive organs. So we try to, like, not do the gender binary at all. We try to look at sexuality as a spectrum. And consent is key. And treating people with respect is key. And that involves, you know, when there's harm, that you address it right away. And you do a circle process around it. Like, we're into restoring the community to wholeness rather than incarcerating people. And we find that that really does work to have circles. Like right next door in Vermont, they have 26 restorative justice networks specifically to deal with sex offenders or people who sexually offend. We don't like to do a noun because it makes it sound like that's all a person is. So they have circles of support with volunteers running them, and they get funding for the first year. So when the money runs out, they just keep doing the circles. Because they work, they have a 5% recidivism rate. Yet here in Massachusetts, they don't want to have anything. They don't want to use restorative justice when it comes to sexual and domestic violence. Even though the native peoples that came here and taught about this process, they came here because everyone wanted to know how was it that they were, by using their traditions, keeping cases from coming to the court. All of a sudden, no cases were going to the court. So we're all about the circle, and we're all about teaching. So it's a 39-hour training, and then after people take the training, your own life changes. And then if you want to teach it, we pay people $20 an hour. Everyone gets paid $20 an hour. I'm the executive director. I get $20 an hour. It doesn't matter. We all get the same. And our board, we have transparency completely. Everybody on staff and volunteer can attend board meetings and have a voice. And the way we work that out is, like, we have a 501c3, right? So they make you have a hierarchy. So what we do is we don't, all our decisions by consensus. So we just say all the board members agreed, right? But that meant everyone in the room agreed. They just don't have to know that piece now. But yeah, we figured out a way to bypass a lot of the restrictions that a 501c3 will impose. So I hope this gives you a sort of an idea. Like we look at environmental, political, and as all of those injustices impinging on the violence, you know, that we experience. We feel you have to do it all. If you want to get rid of violence.
So if people want to get involved in Visioning Bear, are there any requirements?
They can just call us at 413-961-9167. Visit our webpage, visioningbear.org, and just make contact, and people are welcome to come and take the training, which costs nothing when you take it, and get involved, you know, with our drumming and everything. We are multicultural in our approach, but all of our teachings are indigenous, but we're multicultural because we believe in one nation, and that compassion is important. Compassion is based on equity. And a lot of the elders, by the way, they're into all the nations coming together in equity, which means that just like when an individual heals, you have to drop your pain. You have to let go of your anger and upset in order to be happy and move on and be able to give. So we look at forgive as before you give again, something has to happen. So it's before you give, not like excusing bad behavior. So we don't believe in going back into a bad situation, but what we do is have compassion for the person who did the harm and to advocate for them getting healing for themselves rather than going to jail. But yeah, so that's kind of like what we're about, and on all levels of what we do, that's how we operate.
Yeah, I would like to ask you one more thing about property and private property, and like you live in Greenfield, right? Or the card says it has a Greenfield address.
We have a Greenfield post office address, but our offices are in South Deerfield in the Deerfield Business Center. And I personally live in Worthington, where I have a lot of land. So we're looking for land, actually. We were looking for land that we can put in trust or conservancy where it's not owned. Like, we want land to be on and to bring in all our elders and teaching and teach traditions and everything, gatherings, and, you know, and we don't want to own land either, so we would want the land to be, like, in a non-owned situation.
Or, like, communally?
Yeah, like a collective, you know. It's about how much you want to put in, and then we have this curriculum for working out the conflicts that come up. So everybody has to be into, if you have a, like, you know, people run away from conflict, don't they? I mean, how many times in your life you had someone, you don't know why they don't call you anymore because they didn't even bother to tell you. They were upset with something you did, but they don't tell you what it was.
That was the interview with Strong Oak of Visioning Bear Circle Intertribal Coalition. The interview was from Sunday, August 4th, 2019. Visioning Bear provides prevention education, training, and technical assistance to all Indigenous communities in the Northeast who wish to eliminate interpersonal violence in their tribal and intertribal communities. And this is Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. And this is Red Eagle.
We have to learn to maneuver through a linear society without completely losing ourselves in that greed, in my language, Naholo, a lover of things.
Traditions, ancient knowledge in our hands, lighting sacred fires, sustaining song and dance, enduring all oppression we withstand. This is a song of survival. Can you get with this Indigenous revival? A movement of the people, a revolution tribal, just another song of survival. Yeah, you say you just live in life, but you remember where you're from. Do you acknowledge all your ancestors and the children yet to come? Have you gained or retained the knowledge that the old ones hold as sacred? The teachings of how to walk in balance, see clearly and release hatred. Why do we emulate what's popular in a society that wasn't built for us, or even with us in mind? So why do we participate in what's killing us? This one's for the artists, the poets, and our followers saving us. The b-boys and graphers, MCs and turntablists. The four elements are like medicine, a cultural empowerment. So keep your YOLO and swag and watch hip-hop devour it. The criticisms out of love for the things I know could be better. Ceremony is the key that unlocks knowledge beyond measure. See, I conjecture we're changing the weather. Revolutionaries are doing feathers that have never been idle, manifesting coup through lectures. Colonization, assimilation, trying to erase us from this nation. But we stand here strong, singing songs of creation. Raising up our fists, raising up our fists, reaching for the stars, reaching for the stars. Defiant we resist, defiant we resist. Remember who we are. Maintaining our traditions, ancient knowledge in our hands. Lighting sacred fires, sustaining song and dance. Enduring all oppression we withstand. This is a song of survival. Can you get with this Indigenous revival? A movement of the people, a revolution tribal. Just another song of survival. Spirit over money, teachings over law, balance over power, yeah, the empire shall fall. Manifest destiny, capitalist exploitation of nature, self-destructive destiny, manifested through hatred. Be careful, you can become this, don't take this out of context. Impotent rebellion stemming from an inferiority complex. Young one, do what you want, please don't get defensive. Just know what you put in the world has definitive consequences. Change, action.
activist. Action is the start, not by the movement of your mouth, but the manifestation of your heart. People say that they don't see us, there's no evidence we're here. But when they look at us, they don't see us, they're only seeing their own fear. No Eiffel Tower here, no ancient towers, none. But listen for our heartbeat, you can hear it in the drum. You can see us in the land, where you stand is where we're from. Been regaining ancient knowledge, and the best is yet to come. Raising up our fists, raising up our fists. Reaching for the stars, reaching for the stars. The fire we resist, the fire we resist. Remember who we are, remember who we are. We are a people of endurance and protectors of the land. Maintaining our traditions, ancient knowledge in our hands. Lighting sacred fires, sustaining song and dance. Enduring all oppression, we withstand. This is a song of survival. Can you get with this indigenous revival? A movement of the people, a revolution tribal. Just another song of survival.
This is Out There on Valley Free Radio. Next, I have a little clip from an interview with someone I met on the Greyhound bus earlier this year when the bus broke down and we had a lot of time on our hands.
Okay, my name is Matthew. Mm-hmm. People always call me Matt. Mm-hmm. My last name is Kapingiri, Kapingiri. Mm-hmm. Kapingiri.
Where are you from?
Originally, I'm from the Republic Democratic of Congo, that is in Central Africa.
But you're from Washington, D.C. right now?
Now, I grew up, I came here very young, and now I live in Washington, D.C., and I work for Hitachi. And what I do protobeam, that is a machine that will kill cancer, trauma from laser. With our machine is high voltage, we use X-ray, and we use radiology, and we use beam. Beam is coming with a vacuum, it's coming with gas, and we have a cooling water to cool the machine down. But it's proto beam, it kills cancer. It's just like light. The light will go through your body, and that light will penetrate through your body to kill cancer.
Is that a procedure that people are currently getting? Are you still doing more research on it?
No, that research has been done. What I'm doing there, I'm testing. I'm an electrical engineer and I'm testing the machine. So the design was done in Japan. And now we work at Sibley Hospital in D.C. I think we will succeed with our project.
Yeah, cool.
But I went to University of the District of Columbia, that they call UDC. That's where I end up in bachelor degree in electrical engineering since 2003. But that's not only the medical device I did. I did another medical devices before. That was lithotripter. Lithotripter is work with a shockwave machine. That's burst kidney stone. With electricity, we could burst kidney stone. Yes.
That's cool. Well, we started talking because we're both waiting here on this long Greyhound layover, which we have no idea when it will ever end here in Lynchburg, Virginia. Maybe another driver will show up sometime. But I was telling you about the farm in Trinidad where I was working, and we were talking about vegetables and beans. And you were telling me about beans and eating the leaves. So when you were growing up, like, what part of the bean did you harvest? What were beans like in your family for eating?
Oh, that is my favorite food. Beans, they grow up not too fast, but it can take 3 to 4 weeks. But those beans leaves, you can cook them in different way. You can just boil them and drink the soup and eat the leaves. And you can mix it You can mix it with maybe fish, dry fish, or salted fish, and it's good. Again, just fresh beans, no dry beans. You just take them from the cover. You can cook them and eat them. So now, I'm talking about now dry beans. Now, dried beans, sometimes you can take, you can peel the skin out after it's dry.
You were saying you boil them for 5 minutes and let them cool.
You boil it. First of all, you have to boil it maybe for 5 minutes and let the water cool down and take one by one, one bean by one, and peel the skin, boil it, make a soup or put on top of it, smash it. You can eat it with rice, with fufu. It's very good too.
Wow, that's like the super gourmet, each individual bean peeled style.
Yes, beans you can cook it in maybe 10 different ways.
Yeah. Okay, so you're also talking about the leaves. So you're saying like your mom would plant beans behind the house, and then like how big would they be before you would start harvesting the leaves?
No, they could grow up maybe 7-10 inch. And you can start peeling out the leaves. And those leaves, they are fresh.
Yeah.
That is natural food.
Really
and
nice.
They have a lot of protein. And when you boil them, you can mix them up with any dry fish. Even themselves, you just put maybe peanut butter after dry them. After cooking it, and you can put peanut butter on top of it, and it tastes good. That is a very potent food. Even its water, if you drink it, after you boil it, this is the water, instead of throwing the water, because I see some people, they take vegetable, they say they boil it, and take the water, they throw that water out. When you throw the water out, that you throw the whole vitamin out. So, the same water, cook with it. If you're going to take the water out, drink that water.
So you have to be careful to not harvest too many leaves, right? Because you want the bean to mature enough. You want the plant to become mature enough to make beans as well. So, like, I don't know, how much of the leaves can you harvest without hurting the plant?
No, when they grow, they have a lot of leaves. But don't dry, don't take everything out. Of course, they have to... They have to breathe, you know, the plants have to breathe.
Yeah.
So if you take everything out, it's going to dry.
Yeah.
But you have to leave something. But if you don't take it out too, it's going to die. Because it cannot breathe. So you have to take them out to let it breathe. So leave something and take something. Yeah, don't take everything and don't leave everything. Of course, you have to treat it. A plant, you have to treat it. You have to take some leaves out. To let it breathe.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So don't forget to eat the bean leaves. It's good, healthy nutrition, fresh, tender green.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks to that tip from Matt on the Greyhound Bus. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Democracy Now! Comes up at 5 o'clock. Couple of announcements, maybe just one, this Saturday and every Saturday. You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is. Oh, yeah. So here's another announcement that I wanted to make. Cat Berry was putting up flyers around town and wanted to let me know of a flyer that advertised this Friday at the Florence Civic Center from 4 p.m. to midnight. There's a benefit for the homeless. The Florence Civic Center. And it's a $10 suggested, requested donation. I guess there's flyers up around town, and Kat Berry said there wasn't too much more information, but maybe it was a Friends of the Homeless sponsored event. All right, well, there was just a caller. Caller, feel free to call back. Maybe it was Kat Berry. I'm going to play a song. You can call back when the song's playing. This is a song by Yesa.
Ones and ones, yeah. You know it's Yesa on your radio. But come for my shop every stereo. Don't worry about a thing because we're pissed them here. From Bull Bay to above, you will link same way. We're not for worry about no earplay. So buck your speakers when you hear me. Me now fi stop at town. The soldiers a come. Cause the lyrics be as fit sweet like bubble gum. No bring no bad vibes beside me. Cause everything is irate. Yes, everything is irate. No bring no bad vibes beside me. Yes, everything is irate. No bring no bad vibes beside me. Party, don't a life yard start up my day. I kill with liquor, color, when I'm a place. Men I got it, no call, too tough, see me. So leave your message for my vice mail. To the sweet mother earth, we are give praise. Go back through the gates with your screw face. No come outside with your eyebrow twist up. We no want a screw face when the music a jump. No worry about a thing because we piss them here. From Bull Bay to Abab, you will link same way. We not for worry about no earplay. So buck your speakers when you hear me. Me not fi stop at town when the soldiers are come. Cause the lyrics me a spit sweet like bubble gum. No bring no bad vibes beside me. Cause everything is irate. Yes, everything is irate. No bring no bad vibes beside me. Yes, everything is irate. No bring no bad vibes beside me. You sick a bubble, 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 bubble up. 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 And you been get Congo drum. I mash up my cranium. Baba roots and the herbs. No see no food on the ground. Now you been get Congo drum. I mash up my cranium. Baba roots and the herbs. No see no food on the ground. And the youths them pan the can. I just a play a domino. And the baseline enticing. Me not fi beg nobody fi a center a dime. And the king of forward with the roots same time. What do you with your frown take your face from the drown? The music enchanting. No worry about a thing because we feels them here. From Bull Bay to Abab you will link same way. We not for worry about no earplay. So buck your speakers when you hear me.